And when I get excited, my little disclaimer, she says, oh baby, the views and opinions expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. Welcome to AnCast. I'm Zach Burgee. Justin's here.
Howdy, everyone.
And we are killing time, trying to take it easy, because it's a real rough month this month for us, work-wise. It is non-fucking-stop. I literally came home from Anime Expo, took a one-hour nap, got started on the preview guide.
Right. Yes. And I've been trying to finish up all my projects. I get to go to Otakon in a couple weeks, and Anime Spotlight kicked my ass.
Are you excited for Otakon?
I am. I haven't been in 4 years, and there's so many of my East Coast nerd friends I haven't seen in forever.
Yeah, I feel bad that I haven't been in so long, because I haven't seen any of my East Coast friends in years. So, it's, yeah. But we did go to Anime Expo, which was fine.
Yeah, it was surprisingly not... I had almost no problems.
Yeah, I didn't really have any problems. I mean, I know that, you know, you and I are kind of insulated from the whatever problems the con may have actually had.
Right, and we're very grateful for that.
But, I mean, you know, if the line for the tram was too long, I just got in a cab. Like, I didn't bother waiting forever for trams.
Yeah, the tram situation was bad, and the traffic around the convention center was a disaster because of X Games. Although the crowd for X Games, it was actually not anywhere near as bad as I'd worried it would be.
Yeah, that wasn't the thing I thought it would be.
And no, frankly, it was like, mostly a television event. There weren't even stands for most of them.
Yeah, and like once the cab drivers figured out how to get to the convention center around all that traffic, it didn't take any more time to get there than it normally would have.
Yeah,
they just had to go around behind it, and it was fine.
A couple of the bus drivers actually decided to take the freeway, and it was like, wow, this is really nice. Yeah, should always take the freeway.
Yeah, I feel like they figured that out on like Friday.
Yeah.
And then it was fine after that. Yeah, I mean, overall, we had a nice time. Big thanks to everyone who came out to the live show.
That was so much fun. I wish we could do that more.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and we really appreciate everyone who came out, both to that and to our Anime News Network panel. We always have a good time, and this was no exception. So thanks to everybody. But yeah, it was Anime Expo. I think, like, at this point, moving forward, I'm just going to automatically go into, guys, stop, whenever there's like, this show's going to be disaster, because every fucking year, everyone does that. They sit around talking like, oh, it's going to be a huge mess this year, it's going to be a giant wreck, like, it never is. It was 1 year in 2007.
There's always so much behind-the-scenes drama that everyone gets distracted by it, thinking, oh, it's going to be a cataclysm, but it always ends up kind of working out.
It never impacts the show, and the only people who give a shit about, like, SPJA drama are the SPJA, and, like, a handful of people who breathlessly tell me about SPJA drama, and it's like, it never impacts the show itself.
No.
It was fine. The show was fine. And frankly, their attendance seemed like it was way up, because that place was crowded as shit.
Oh my god, it was almost Comic-Con bad.
Yeah, nearly. On
especially
Friday.
I was really shocked. Friday was substantially worse than the rest of the days.
Yeah, Friday was really, really bad. Yeah. You could barely move in there. But it's like, rather than get, like, that doesn't irritate me, I'm just happy to see it.
Yeah, like, no, seriously.
Oh good, the show's a huge success. Great. Okay.
I'll be curious to see what Otakon's like, because are they still capping attendance? I forget.
Yeah, they have to, don't they?
Oh, right.
At like 23,000 or something like that?
Because, I mean, it's been sweltering in D.C. and the surrounding area for the past 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So, and that air conditioning in that convention center can't keep up during a normal summer.
Yeah, maybe I'm not so upset that I can't go. That sounds miserable.
I'm a little worried about that.
It's in the dog days of summer, so it's just like, the worst time of year to be in that part of the country.
Mm-hmm. At least we have crab.
Yes, you do. And the fabulous ESPN Sports Zone.
I'm not going back there if I can help it. Jesus Christ, that place.
All right, so we're mostly just going to do Twitter questions, but have you been watching anything?
No, I haven't had time. It's just, I mean, you've had to watch stuff because of the preview guide, but I've just been knee-deep in trying to finish up Spotlight, so it's just, and I've had a bunch of other work to do, so it's just not been happening.
Any movies?
Did I see anything?
Didn't you see that?
I saw Magic Mike.
Yeah, I'm supposed to see that this weekend. How is that?
Not that great. It's decent. I was expecting, you know, everyone that fell for the marketing was expecting, you know, Beefcake Fest. I went and saw it because it was Steven Soderbergh.
Yeah, that's why I want to see it, because everyone's telling me it's good, but they're marketing it as though it is Bachelorette Party the movie.
Right. Yeah. And it does have plenty of, you know, bare man flesh.
Right.
But it's not, it's closer to Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
Than anything. It's very much a story about not very smart, not very driven people who have fallen into kind of a wastrel life based on easy pleasures.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing particularly groundbreaking. The script is kind of problematic. Like, the dialogue is really, really bad, but you could argue that that is how people that dumb would talk.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's Soderbergh, and he does, he's like two takes, and then that's it, and let's move on.
Well, apparently they shot this even faster than he normally does.
Oh, really? Okay.
Like, they had almost no time to shoot this.
Well, it's all weird, the funding on it's really, really weird, but it's making a shitload of money, so, good for him, I guess.
It's worth seeing, but I think it's worth seeing on video. It's got issues.
Huh, interesting. Well, I'm looking forward to checking it out. Every time he does anything, I will see it. Like,
right.
He's a very, very interesting filmmaker. So
I drew the line at Che.
Lots of, yeah. I admittedly fell asleep during Che. But I saw Spider-Man. I wish I didn't see Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It's a perfectly fine movie, but I wanted to kill myself. I was so bored. Like, I don't fucking need to see Spider-Man's origin story ever again. Like, ever again, I don't want to see it. I don't care what their take on it is. I don't care if it's dramatically different from the normal way that he becomes Spider-Man, which this movie is not. But I don't need a fucking hour of montages where he's figuring out how to use his powers, and Uncle Ben gets killed, and then we gotta fucking wait for... God damn it, that movie. And it was perfectly fine. Andrew Garfield's very charming, very likable, he's great in the role. Who doesn't like Emma Stone, you know? And they're fine, but I kept sitting there thinking, like, wow, those two are really charming and great in these roles. I wish they were in a more interesting Spider-Man movie. There's almost nothing worse than something that is just so fucking mundane that you just feel like you're just wasting your life sitting there watching it. you would be in hell, I'm pretty sure.
You could not pay me to go to that movie. You could not pay me.
Yeah, oof. Again, it's weird because it's not a bad film. It's not bad at all. It's perfectly serviceable. The performances are fine. It's perfectly, the story is fine. It's a weird feeling to feel like, oh, yeah, that was an okay movie. I never want to think about it or see it ever again, ever.
A glowing recommendation.
Yeah. Fucking Spider-Man, man. Anyway, so that's what I saw summer season. Oh, I saw Berserk. I had to watch that. This is in a screener because they're doing a lot of promotion for it at Comic-Con, and they're bringing out the founder of 4C, and I'm going to interview him. So obviously I needed to actually see the film, which I didn't know was only an hour and 15 minutes.
Really short.
I thought it was longer than that, but for what they're adapting, that's not really enough time.
No.
I have to admit, I didn't really like it. It's pretty in spots. The CG is terrible. It is butt CG.
Is it the cel-shaded stuff?
Yeah, cel-shaded, real clunky, cut-rate kind of mocap stuff where they're slicing frames out. in order to save money, which I don't know who told the Japanese that you can animate CG in the same cost-cutting way that you can do 2D animation, but you can't.
Well, dropping frames doesn't... It's not that much of a time or energy saver when you're doing CG.
Well, I don't know why they do it, because that's what's happening. You can tell. Like, it's limited movement. So, whatever. It looks like shit. All the crowd scenes... It's usually mostly for guys in heavy armor and crowd scenes. There's plenty of traditional animation, and that stuff all looks fine. But the CG is distractingly bad. Mm-hmm. So this movie adapts like the first kind of chunk of the anime. I think it's like 20 episodes worth of the anime.
20 episodes of the TV show stuffed into one movie.
Did you watch that show?
I got a little bit into it, but I never really finished it.
Okay, well, it gets all the way up to basically right before Griffith is about to sell the Hawks out in order to fulfill his political ambition and get married to this princess, if I remember correctly. And that's a big chunk of the show. That's the bulk of the narrative of the TV show. It's right before things get real bad.
So is it really rushed?
It's choppy. It's rushed. They basically, it's kind of like a greatest hits version of the story. It's like, hey, remember when they confronted each other for the first time, and then remember when they fought the big troll guy, and then remember when he met the princess? Like, that's kind of how it goes.
Wow.
I didn't like it. I don't know why they're doing it this way. Just make another TV show. Like, why are they doing it this way? And it can't be an hour long. Like, that should have been at least 2 hours. But not that I wanted to see more of it, because... I don't know, man. It was a disappointment. But I wasn't expecting much. Like, all the reviews, as it was coming out, were like, meh. So it's kind of hard to get excited for me, you know. But there's that, and then summer preview has begun.
Yeah, it's not a good season.
I like that show about the end of the world.
Right,
that's neat. And I was okay with the Utakoi thing with the 100 poems from Chihaya Furu, sort of illustrated. And given a little bit of humanity and story, that's neat. I'm not going to watch any more of that, I don't think, but I liked what I saw. There's a few shows I need to catch up on, but apparently the real doozies are right around the corner. So we're taping this right on the verge of about half the season premiering over the next couple of days. So we'll see, I guess. I don't know. You're certainly having a fun time with this season.
This has been the worst spotlight ever.
Well, we'll talk about that in a bit, because apparently we got a Twitter question about it.
Good.
So let me see here. Now, we originally, apologies actually, we originally intended to do this 2 weeks ago, or last week. Yeah, last week. And then we decided, oh, we're just taping a live show on Friday, I'll just get that show up on Friday. So now we're just going to answer those questions from last week, and we got some new ones in yesterday. So we'll get through all of these. It's not too much stuff.
Good.
Hang on, just
we need a break.
Yeah, and that is actually the other thing we should mention. Next week, no show because I'm going to be at Comic-Con and I'm not going to produce a show. Sorry. let's see here. Okay, Twitter time from Alf1361. Have you noticed any highbrow conservatives in the American anime fandom? I hope this isn't too political a question. No. Maybe I can just leave it there. No, I haven't.
Yeah, I mean, highbrow conservatives, they're all about economic policy, whereas the lowbrow conservatives are the ones who would probably have a problem with anime to begin with.
There's plenty of conservatives in anime fandom, but they all seem of the Fox News variety, where if you ask them their political opinions, they will spit a bunch of Republican talking points at you. It's not that I don't know that there are any, like, I actually don't really kind of know what he means by highbrow conservative. I guess he means, like, William F. Buckley and, like, people who have been generally drummed out of that party.
Yeah, people who read National Review.
Yeah, David Frum, you know, there you go, highbrow conservative. But, yeah, there's plenty of conservatives. Like, I see them frequently in the forums anytime that stuff comes up. And I certainly have had plenty of people complain that I'm too liberal.
Right.
Every time it comes up on this show, and they can go fuck themselves. As far as
you are very liberal.
I'm very liberal. Yes. But, no, I mean, it doesn't, like, yeah, I see plenty of them. I kind of like the fact that anime is very apolitical and doesn't, like, I've seen an equal number of liberals and conservatives. It's not particularly dominated by one or the other, and it's completely irrelevant to anime, so I guess maybe that's why. I don't know, but it is pretty apolitical, unless you're a social conservative, in which case all the sexuality must drive you crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. Moving on. Okay, I'm going to rephrase this because we got a lot of these before Anime Expo, but LJ asks, looking forward to Comic-Con, are there any particular panels that you're looking forward to? I am looking forward to Comic-Con. I love Comic-Con every year. I know, Justin, you're not a fan.
No.
But there is a Django Unchained panel, which I did not know was happening, and so I'm excited about that. I don't think anyone's actually going to be there because, as far as I know, they're still shooting. But they are doing a live event, so they're going to pipe in. I assume Tarantino will squawk at us from some remote location. Looking forward to that. And then I want to see what Disney's presenting for Wreck-It Ralph, which looks cool. And I'm curious about their Oz movie. I want to know what that is exactly. Hopefully it's not as bad as Alice in Wonderland.
I'm looking forward to staying home and going to Crab Fest.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. Okay. Let's see here. Sewing Rose 11. Did you check out the 25-minute Spider-Man edit? I wish I watched that instead of the actual film. Like, I would have been much happier at 25 minutes than 2 hours and 20 minutes, which is what it is, which is fucking ridiculous. Let's see. Sewing Rose 11 also asks, will Zach read recaps of the end of Naruto when it's published? No. Because I don't care what happens at the end of Naruto.
Man, I've completely disengaged from that show.
Yeah.
I used to be so into it.
Mm. It feels like everybody was into it for the same exact period of time.
Yeah.
And then just, no. Like, I could not care less what's happening in Naruto right now.
Yeah.
Okay. XB Saint asks, why does Japan seem to be shoving Sengoku period / Oda Nobunaga shows into every season this year? That's a good question. Mm. Are they out? What is with that?
I'm sure it's just a matter of not having any ideas.
Yeah, I guess.
That's not true. They have plenty of ideas. They just don't have any marketable ideas, and that's just an easy, okay, everyone knows this story, checkbox.
Yeah.
You know, assemble the production committee. We have boobs. We'll sell, you know, booby mouse pads, the end.
Yeah. That whole, like, what if these historical figures were actually cute girls? It's like, ugh. It's been done, man. Stop.
I don't know how many times they have to do that before the production committee start going, you know, and they're not doing all that great.
Yeah, and as far as I know, none of those shows are actually like setting the world on fire or anything. So, okay, it's just an overused idea at this point. I Miss Bionics asks, if you were an anime character, what kind of moe would you be? Sorry to put you on the spot like this.
I think it's pretty obvious I'm Tsundere.
Yeah, probably both are.
Yeah.
Okay, Kaminomi Memo asks, Justin, having any fun doing the summer spotlights?
No.
No. What's going on with that? What happened?
Oh, God. Well, we thought we were getting like 12 to 15 shows. We ended up getting 5. We have a 6th that is so late that, you know, we didn't want to wait for it to put up the final tally. It kind of blew up in our faces this season, and because there aren't a whole lot of like really, really, really heavily hyped and anticipated shows, we're not sweating it too badly.
Yeah.
I mean, summer's always the dull season anyway.
Well, explain a little bit about the process of putting that together, because a lot of people, I feel, don't really understand what it is. That, you know, we're not really writing those.
No, they're actually almost entirely translations of stuff we get from the licensors.
Right, and they have
So everything, we are entirely dependent on the licensors at their most busy possible time to send us materials. Now, the spring went really well because everyone had to be on their A game because TAF was right there, so they needed to have those materials anyway.
Yeah.
But summer, everyone was running behind. So a lot of times there just weren't any materials to work with. We were literally, you know, translating off of the Japanese web pages and then waiting for them to send us the art files. And sometimes we'd get them. Sometimes we didn't. It's a huge, huge pain in the butt. We have a great translator on retainer who can turn stuff around really fast and do a really good job. And then Mitsuru's poor Mitsuru's just trying to hound the producers to get us materials in a time frame we can actually use them. But it's a huge pain in the butt. We have to get everything approved at, you know, three or four different steps along the way. And in this case, just nobody was on ball enough to get us materials in time. And I guess it just this is going to happen sometimes.
Yeah, sounds like a giant pain in the ass.
That it is. That it is.
I'm not the one responsible for that. Okay. Also, Kaminomi Memo asked about the Tokyopop panel that happened at Anime Expo. I didn't go to it myself, but I did find it highly amusing that they somehow didn't have time for Q&A.
How about that?
Also, I heard someone ask Stu if he would come on this podcast, and he said yes.
Really?
Yes. So,
shit.
Stu, come on the show. We'd love to have you. We promise we'll be nice.
Maybe.
Cecil234, have you or Justin ever actually sat down and played through a visual novel or Aerogay? No.
I haven't. Not an arrow. I played a little bit of one when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And also, I'm not sure how much like the old classic 16-bit dating sims count as a visual novel.
Yeah.
Because they are kind of the exact same thing.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So yeah, I played through a little bit of Sakura Taisen and. There were a couple PC ones that I tried too, but they're not, I just don't find them engaging.
Click through text. That's all you do. It's not a game. It's not really a game.
No, it felt like, you know, one of those things that you would make in, you know, a game maker app in 1994.
Yeah. Yeah.
Download them off America Online.
I have not, but I will pretty soon here. So we'll see how that goes. Let's see here. Dragon Zig asks, which series of the past 2 years do we think we'll still be talking about in a decade's time? Not necessarily as famous, but perhaps as cult classics or hidden gems. Anything recent has the potential to be an all-time great.
Hmm.
Well, Madoka.
Yeah, Madoka definitely. I'm just about to start Kids on the Slope, but that, from what I'm hearing, that will probably, you know, at least live in a few people's memories.
Yeah, I have not finished that, but I am really enjoying it. Yeah, that's the sort of thing where, like, Madoka's one of the only breakout hits of the last, like, 5 years.
We've had a lot of stuff that has been good,
and
but
popular.
None of it has really stood out. Like, there are representatives of their respective genres, but they're not really, you know, memorable.
Yeah, I think that's the difference, memorable. Something that people actually will hang on to. All right. AC in the 715 asks, what have been your favorite and least favorite movies that you've seen this year? Favorite's easy for me. Moonrise Kingdom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Pretty obviously.
For me, that and Jeff Who Lives at Home are my two favorites.
Yeah, I liked but didn't love. I didn't like it as much as you did, Jeff Who Lives at Home.
It hit me right in a very personal way, so.
Yeah. I enjoyed but did not. I could not honestly recommend it as a great film, but I enjoyed watching God Bless America. That's because it's for angry liberals.
Right.
honestly, like, so far, it hasn't been a totally great year, but it hasn't been a bad year, and all the, you know, pretty much every major director that I love has something coming out later this year.
Right, yeah, I mean, it's early yet. All the good stuff. The good movies are always loaded at the end of the year anyway, so.
Yeah, I'm just sitting around waiting for Paul Thomas Anderson's new movie to come out.
Aren't we all?
Then I'll be happy. Okay. Hazukari asks, do you feel the summer selection of anime is looking disappointing? Yes. Yes, I do. We Make Manga asks, what is your first anime or manga ever?
First anime was Warriors of the Wind, the hack and slash dub of Nausicaä.
Yeah.
First anime that I actually knew was anime and was my jumping off point was Project Eiko.
Yeah, in terms of actually knowing it was anime, I think it might have been something like Ninja Scroll or... anime's tough to remember, but I do remember that what got me into all of it was someone handing me a Lum comic in high school.
Mm.
One of those real early Viz books.
Yeah, manga-wise, I think it was Ranma for me.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, Rumiko Takahashi stuff in the 90s. Yeah, that's all anyone read.
That was the go-to. Although I tried to read the Dominion manga and I couldn't really get into it.
Yeah, I feel like it's weird. It's like that Lum comic sent me into anime and then I never really got that into manga. It's
kinda... Well, we're movie people.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah.
All right. Hitoju asks, what's your favorite romance anime and do you think a romance anime succeeds mainly on its ability to resonate with the viewer?
It can. That's definitely one way to go about it. I think my favorite there are a lot I like, but for some reason, the one that's standing out in my memory right now is Toradora.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which I wasn't expecting, but that show did really get me.
I think one of my, as I've gotten older and as I've been through so many relationships, good and bad, anime rarely deals with adult feelings when it comes to romance.
So seldom about adults.
Yeah, it's so seldom even about adults, but the, you know, childish feelings of first love is not what I relate to anymore. You know, and there's very few anime that actually tackle adult relationships. And so for me to pick a favorite romance anime, like... That's kind of a tough one. I like the romance elements in a number of shows, but something that's just purely about romance, I don't think there is one right now where I would say, like, yeah, that's a really good take on relationships, because they don't tackle the kinds of feelings that I have about relationships anymore. Like, I think I'm further along than most anime even bothers to consider. Which is fine. I don't expect it from that, but yeah, it's tough to call one out specifically as being particularly good. Okay, Prugshell asks, insofar as cultural and artistic impact is concerned, what is anime's Breathless, Pulp Fiction, Three Colors trilogy? Feel free to insert any movie you feel is significant. Obviously, I'm looking for a closest approximation, not exact similarity. So I guess he means, you know, sort of landmark. Shows that defined the medium for a few years or a decade or two.
Evangelion.
Yep. I agree.
Well, and Nausicaä. And probably Macross.
Yeah, no, I agree with all of those. Tenchi in Tokyo. No.
Right.
Let's see. Bugram asks, you guys talk about good movies, but what are your favorite crappy action movies?
Ooh.
You are not a crappy anything guy.
Well, I dabble. I just for me it's something that, you know, you pop in a crappy dollar store kung fu movie at 2 a.m. and then you watch it for 10 minutes while you lull yourself to sleep because it's boring.
Yeah, yeah. I am a huge fan of Paul Verhoeven. And a lot of people would, his movies are pretty crappy. But they're good crappy. And they're super fun crappy. Like, I love Total Recall, Starship Troopers. Like, those are some of my favorite movies. But I acknowledge that they're pretty shitty.
I did enjoy 80s Punisher.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I saw that on, Chopped Up for Television on the local TV station in Detroit 1 year. And that made my evening. That was fantastic. There's a Indonesian movie called Lady Terminator that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I think that's been circulated.
Yeah.
A few times. I mean, I enjoy a shitty action movie, but it is not something I want to experience in the theater. Like, that has got to be a TV kind of a thing. Like something you come across on TV and you're just laying on the couch and vegetating.
Yeah.
That is the place for a shitty action movie. I will not go to the theater for a shitty action. Crystal Thingy asks, as a Tezuka novice, do either of you have any suggestions on where to start, anime or manga? I noticed several shows are now on Viki. I am not a big Tezuka guy, but I would probably say most people start with something like... Nowadays, I think most people start with something like Buddha.
Yeah, manga-wise, I'm not a big Tezuka guy. I've seen most of the anime, though, and Phoenix is phenomenal if you can track down, especially the movie, although that's hard to find. Blackjack, I love Blackjack. The OVAs are fantastic. Those are my favorites.
Yeah, those OVAs are really good. I have seen those. I think I would say Blackjack. It's very accessible. It's nice thriller stuff. I like Blackjack a lot. Okay. Scotty415 asks, how do you guys feel about the upcoming Madoka Magica movies, and is there anything you hope to see from them?
Well, the recaps is hard to get too excited over.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what they're going to do to expand the story. There's room for expansion, so it'll be interesting to see where they go with that. I'm not sitting around holding my breath. I really like the show. The movies can be whatever they are, and that's not going to impact my enjoyment of the TV show. Okay. Cowboy Dev asks, are there any movies, TV shows, anime, etc. that never made it past pre-production or initial concept that you wish had come to be? Interesting question. In terms of anime, we don't really find out about stuff that almost got made but never got made.
Oh, we find out about it years hence.
Yeah.
Sometimes, if someone talks about it. Blue Udo sounds like it would have been pretty cool.
Sure. Why not? I will admit, some of the vaporware live-action adaptations I did really want to see. I don't think it's ever going to get made, but I do want to see James Cameron's Battle Angel Alita. I think he could probably make a really good movie. He's not going to make that movie. He keeps saying he's going to, but he's not going to, because he's going to make fucking four more Avatar movies, and he's in his 60s or whatever, but... I would like to see that. I was curious about live-action Akira. I wanted to see what that would have been like, but it's never going to get made, so... Whatever. Okay. Any anime... Theo Madden asks, any anime sequels or spinoffs that you have a hard time recommending to others because the rest of the property isn't good enough?
Like, for example, the Kenshin OVAs?
Yeah, there you go. Sure, that one. honestly, like, if the root isn't good, the sequels and the spinoffs aren't going to be better anyway.
There are rare exceptions, but usually then they stand alone. Like, for example, Goshogun the Time and Shranje.
Yeah, sure. Like, and, I would know, recommend that
movie. The Goshogun TV show was, it was just another robot TV show for the most part, but holy shit, that movie, amazing.
Yeah, just thinking about, like... shows that have tons and tons of sequels and spin-off, it's like Slayers. I wouldn't recommend Slayers to anybody.
For the most part, anything that's milked that badly is probably not worth a huge hearty recommendation anyway.
Yeah. Zump1 asks, what's your pick for best video game of the 90s? Well, it would be also my favorite game ever, which is Castlevania Symphony of the Night. I assume you have no opinion on this question.
Probably, although I have to say, have you ever played EVO Quest for Eden or Search for Eden?
Briefly.
That was the first JRPG that really, really hooked me with its emotional content.
You know, I gotta say, like, I've been running through a bunch of JRPGs on the game streams, and I think I'm over that formula. Like, as a type of game, I think I'm over it. They move so slowly.
They really do. I mean, I only got into EVO because it's character-driven, but it's so weird that it was really kind of completely unique among even JRPGs.
Yeah, but maybe I'll check that out at some time. But, I mean, we tried Final Fantasy VI and got so bored I had to stop. Yesterday we were playing fucking Legend of Dragoon, which I know is a bad game, but God, it was slow. Just took fucking forever for anything to happen. I don't know if it's just, like, streaming poison, but just sitting there playing it, I'm just so bored. I guess I'm just used to Western RPGs now, and that's all I... I want to play Skyrim, not Final Fantasy, I guess.
Well, you know, I mean, all video games of that era are kind of boring today, because that's just where we were.
That's not necessarily true. I mean...
Okay, the vast majority, though, are if you were used to only video games that had come out in the last 5 years, and then you step back and watched or tried to play most video games from the 90s, they'd be a little slow.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I have run through a tremendous amount of them in the last couple of weeks, and there's funny bad, there's kind of okay, and then there's... And then that's kind of it. It's like, it's funny, bad, boring, and kind of okay. Those are the three categories. But if you really, really want to torture yourself, just think about running through the library of Game Boy Advance games. That shit makes me want to... Oh my God.
The shovelware that they put out for that system.
Yeah, and I've run through a chunk of it. I have to stop. I can't do it for more than like an hour at a time because it kills me.
How many Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen games did you get through?
I don't think we got to the M's. I think I called it at like the G's or the H's or something, but there's a lot of Dora the Explorer games.
I was working at a GameStop when that system hit, and holy crap, like, we didn't even pay attention to the games that were coming out for that system because they were all so terrible.
Yeah, a lot of shit.
We sold a ton of them, though.
Yeah. That's why there's, like, I think there's over 1,000 games for it or something like that. It's ridiculous. Okay, Akatsuki BK asks, why aren't more popular shows reanimated down their own and given proper endings, i.e. Gantz, Claymore, Yu Yu Hakusho? I kind of wish they would do that. Once they actually get the proper ending, I know they did it for, like, Full Metal Alchemist, but I don't know how that sold.
Well, the problem is most of those anime that they named were promoted partially to promote the manga.
Yeah.
Or to promote toy sales, and if the manga's over, basically everyone's just kind of done with it. Yeah. So no one's really interested in throwing a lot of money at an anime production to keep the fire going at that point.
Yeah, I mean, they made those live-action Gantz movies, which still didn't have the proper ending. Like, it had its own ending.
And were terrible.
And were not good. I never watched the second one.
Why would you?
The first one was so good. Also, Akatsuki BK asks, how do American shows fare in Japan? Like American Dad, Justice League, Buffy, Mad Men. Are there forums dedicated to U.S. shows? I imagine there are.
Yeah, some shows do really, really well. Usually the kind of easily dubbable shows that are not all that highbrow. Shows like Breaking Bad and Mad Men tend to fall on their face over there.
Yeah, but I know, like, The Simpsons and, like, South Park are pretty big.
Simpsons. Ally McBeal was a huge hit over there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Aaron Sarais asks, haven't watched much new anime in a while. The last shows I watched and loved were Katami Galaxy and Madoka. Can you recommend anything from the past couple seasons that would appeal to someone who likes both of those shows? Kids on the Slope? Last season was pretty good.
Yeah, there's, you know, you can go through the reviews and season previews and you can come up with something decent. You know, that Tsuritama was supposed to be really cute.
Yeah. Although, well, no. I heard mostly positive things about the ending, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Although, apparently, when we said, like, when I said I heard the end of Lupin wasn't good, that started, like, all these people are like, who said that? And people thinking that I saw it and said that. I have not watched the end of Lupin. I don't know if it's good or not. I will see it when it comes out on Blu-ray. I don't know if it's good or not, but I heard people complaining about it, and so said, I heard this wasn't very good.
Yeah, we should be careful about that, because people complain about everything.
Yeah, that's true. Well, in which case, I'm just going to say what I feel and not worry about it.
Right.
All right. Where Wendell asks, why can't we have anime streaming in Australia? Everything is region blocked. And if is it piracy if I were able to VPN to streaming sites? Getting around the region block, I don't consider that to be bad or anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's not monetizable, so I mean, I wouldn't advise it, but I don't think you're really hurting anything that badly, especially if it's just not available at all in your area legally.
Yeah. I mean, there's anime licensors in Australia, and people stream stuff in Australia.
Right. The problem is the infrastructure isn't very well developed there. I mean, they just got workable broadband a couple years ago.
Mm, yeah.
So, you know, and it's a much smaller market, yada, there's no good ad revenue, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. Okay. Lannis01 asks, loved your review of 90s anime, but why wasn't there any love for Key the Metal Idol?
Because it's terrible.
Because the first episode is kind of neat, and then that's it.
Yeah, I actually love the first episode, and it has fantastic music, but the further along you get, the worse it gets. And the last two feature-length episodes at the end are so awful, and they are so out of money, and you can so totally tell that the writer is just kind of scrambling to try to dig himself out of the hole he dug himself into.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, the second-to-last episode is 90 minutes of people explaining the plot to each other. It is not good. And the last episode, they're so out of money that whole scenes are just video stills. Like, you can see the grain stops moving.
Yeah.
It's bad. It is a bad show, and it made me really angry because it started off so interesting.
That it did. Okay. IllWoo99 asks, what's your opinion on various abridged series on YouTube? Not funny, don't watch them. None of those. I never found any of those guys to be particularly funny.
I thought the first one that I saw was mildly amusing. And then after that, it's just like, okay, well, that joke has been made already. Why would you do this again?
Yeah. Okay. IllWoo99 asks, if you were a mangaka, what do you want to write about the most? Are you interested in writing about things the fan base would want to see? I don't think any idea that I would come up with that I would actually be passionate about and interested in writing would interest anime fans at all. but I am a sellout and a hack, so I could probably write something that people would buy. Seems like it's easy enough.
I have a few ideas that would be probably friendly to the anime audience, but I don't know. I hope to make them someday, so keep them myself.
Okay. Christy Bay asks, do you guys know why a bunch of shows went on a one-week hiatus a couple of weeks ago? Center HD cam shortage, electricity concerns, soccer? I didn't hear about this.
I didn't either, but if he means in April, that might be because of Golden Week.
Oh, yeah, that would work.
April? I forget.
Yeah, it's April, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right.
It's like it's usually like right after we get back from TAF.
Right.
So
okay, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Okay, Chris Zubay asks, opinions on relatively recent change from 10-bit from 8-bit to 10-bit by most fan subs. Is it comparable to the AVI to MKV change? Do you think the change is working?
No, I think it's retarded.
I feel like we can't get obsessed about VHS quality anymore, so let's do this.
Yeah.
Like, it's just people who are bored and they want more things to nitpick, so let's figure out a way to nitpick this stuff.
Well, my big problem with 10-bit encoding, and I'm going to get video nerdy for a minute here, there is no device other than a computer that can play them. None. And there is none on the horizon either, because 10-bit was not intended for consumers. So, yay, you're elite for being able to use this slightly higher-end encoding format. That's great. Well, it's not useful for anything, and you're just kind of pigeonholing fan subs even further into irrelevance, which I guess might be a good thing. So,
yeah, fine with me.
I don't know. There is nothing to play them on. I mean, I'd have to sit in front of my computer, and if you're the sort of person that your computer is the only screen in your bedroom and you live in your bedroom, then perfect. But for most people, it's not. And I think the era of the home theater PC is over, so.
Yeah, I mean, again, every time I see this stuff as 10-bit shit, it's just like, oh, another internet dick-waving contest. Great.
That format's gotten no traction outside of the anime circles.
Yeah, but it seems like, like you said, the entire reason that they're using this is to say that they can.
Yeah.
Like
it is marginally better quality at marginally lower bit rates. It is. But at some point, the ends don't justify the means anymore. It's not, you're making something that's simply not useful.
But at what price? Yeah. All right, Destructo Kitty asks, I just got myself an HDTV and a Blu-ray player. What's the best-looking anime Blu-ray you've seen so far? Probably Kenshin, Trust and Betrayal.
Any of the ones I've made for NIS.
Come on, man.
Hey, I can try.
Specifically not allowed to do that on this show.
Damn it. That Akira Blu-ray is pretty sweet.
Akira looks really good. The Ghibli's all look really good.
All the Ghibli's are great. Skycrawlers look really good.
And Redline, obviously.
Right. Redline had the subtitle blinky problem.
Whatever, it looked good to me. Okay. Arsenet asks, do you think there's going to be another Morabito anime, given that there are more books? Second book would make a great anime. Probably not.
I wish there would be, but I don't think so.
It didn't do that well, did it?
I don't know how well it did in Japan. Did pretty well here, but, you know, Media Blasters, you know, being what they are and the state they're in, you know, that's kind of has nothing to do with any production possibilities in Japan.
Indeed. Okay, so that's the old questions. Let's get to the new ones, if I can find them. Bradley C. Mee asks, do you recommend Armitage III? Should I watch the movies or the OVAs? I personally would not. I've never been a fan of that franchise. I find the main character to be dull, and the aesthetic of it is kind of ugly. I never really copped to him.
I like the OVAs. The movie cut doesn't work, I don't think, very well. And the Elizabeth Berkley Kiefer Sutherland dub is not very good. But the original OVAs, I think, are kind of charming in their own way. I haven't watched them in years, and I don't think they'd aged very well. And even back then, I remember thinking that the music was dated when it came out. So, I don't know. It's worth trying. I hesitate to recommend them.
Well, they're getting re-released. Actually, they just got re-released. So,
yeah.
If you're interested in seeing it, you can. Basement PhD asks, what's you and Justin's favorite Coen Brothers movie? It's easy for me. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
I think it's Blood Simple for me.
I just saw that again. It's really, really good. But
God, that movie's good. Although, No Country is really, really good. Damn it. Oh, man, this is going to bother me all day.
I tend to go more for their comedies, obviously. But, yeah, Oh Brother is a... I fucking love that movie. That's one of those I can just see... I can watch it over and over and over again. I never get tired of it.
That's on Blu-ray right now, right?
Uh-huh, yep.
I should revisit that. It's been years.
In fact, actually, if people are curious to see Blood Simple and three other really great movies from them, the Blu-ray collection that... I think it's... Maybe it's Fox put out... Anyway, it's Blood Simple, Raising Arizona, Miller's Crossing, and Fargo. And Amazon's been frequently discounting this thing down to like $25, which is what I paid for it, which is a fucking steal. So, yeah. Raising Arizona is a really good movie.
Yeah, it is. That's another one I got to revisit.
I just resaw that. It's very, very funny. I like that.
Possibly the best thing Nicolas Cage has ever done.
Yeah, he's really good at it, too.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, maybe like back when he was a serious actor. Basement PhD also asks, do you have any favorite character designers in anime?
I used to like Naoyuki Onda, but I don't like the things he's done lately.
I feel like character design is one of those things that's become so part of the Moe database culture stuff that super distinct character designs are extremely rare.
Right. Oh, Sachiko Kamimura is great.
What did he do?
She did City Hunter and Heroic Legend of Arslan.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I feel like the 90s had a lot more distinct character designers.
Yeah, now everything kind of looks samey.
Yeah. Okay, J.K. Hartle asks, any updates on Sam Panansky's Kickstarter-like project for classic anime? He was pitching.
We should check in with him. I saw him at AX, but I didn't really get a chance to talk to him because I was just kind of running around.
Yeah, he was pitching it a lot at AX. We'll have
I
him
think
back.
He's made some headway, but he's not quite ready to talk yet.
Yeah, we'll have him, whenever he's ready to talk, he's got a standing invitation to come back and talk to us about it. So
yeah.
Lacuna Craft asks, do you think we'll ever see a Western anime company like Funimation partner with an anime studio to create an original series?
Original series would be tough because that takes some pretty deep pockets.
I mean, I would be shocked, absolutely stunned, if a American distributor said, we're going to dump a bunch of money into an original series. Now, if he means original in the sense that it's not based on an existing successful property, I would just be amazed.
Well, I mean, this sort of has been done. Like, we had IGPX.
Sure. Yeah, we did. But that was Cartoon Network, and they're the only people I can think of that would even attempt it.
Well, they're the only people we can think of that have that kind of money.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, we're talking, you know, 300 grand an episode. We're talking an expenditure on something completely untested of a couple mil.
Yeah. It's a shame about Mutineer's Moon. Sewing Res 11 asks, do you know if the dealers did all right at AX this year? And why did Toei Animation send over an official One Piece booth? I feel like they've done that before.
Yeah. At any rate, they did pretty well from the questions I was asking. Ed Chavez almost got to go home completely empty-handed.
Yeah. He seems to do a pretty good job gauging exactly how much he's going to sell.
Yeah. So some things moved, some things didn't. I heard Friday, even though it was that crowded, people weren't buying that much, and then it really ramped up on Saturday.
Yeah. I did a little bit of shopping myself, and business seemed brisk. I don't think people were sitting around waiting for people to buy things like, say, they were at, what's it, AM Squared.
Right.
But I guess, you know, that's what happens.
Much, much, much bigger show.
When your chief demographic is specifically teenagers with no money.
Right.
AX at least attracts people who maybe have some money in their pocket. All right, Nemo Mentison asks, how do you see iconic imagery like face faults, screen tones, and speed lines in anime? How does it work? How doesn't it? And why?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Well, if he's just talking about like the visual trappings of anime, it's kind of changed a lot over the last couple of decades.
Yeah, they don't rely on things like speed lines that much anymore.
Yeah,
and they still pop up occasionally, but
I feel like all this stuff only happens in parody now.
Yeah.
Like when someone's satirizing old stuff, they'll use that. But it's not really part of the visual language of anime anymore. Nemo Mendison also asks, does anyone know what a deconstruction is anymore? No. No, they don't. Any mild commentary on narrative form is seen as a deconstruction now, and it's fucking annoying. That word is completely overused.
It makes you sound smartish.
I guess it's getting to the point where I don't want to use it at all anymore. In the same manner that I don't want to use the word pretentious at all anymore.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Helvenica Standard asks, so the general consensus is that Madoka is a great show, but I've been wondering how accessible the show actually is. How familiar with the anime medium do you think someone would have to be before you'd recommend the show to them? You know, I was thinking about this, and I wouldn't recommend that to not anime fans.
No, it's too cutesy, little girly. It would drive most people up the wall, I think.
Yeah, you have to be familiar with and comfortable with anime as a thing, the way anime looks now.
The whole, like, little girl aesthetic.
Yeah, you have to know about all that stuff. You have to be comfortable and familiar with it in order to enjoy that show, or get it, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I strongly recommend that to anime fans, but it's not going to make anyone an anime fan, I don't think.
No.
And finally, based on this morning's news, Rainy Isle asks, what do you think the new Sailor Moon series will do to the price of ADV's original out-of-print DVD release? Spike, drop drastically, or no change?
Spike.
Even more?
It'll remind people that it existed, and people always want the original.
Yeah. God, I hope at some point somebody is able to re-release that. If only just for the money it's going to make someone, and I like success, so.
I really have my doubts it's going to happen.
Yeah, no, I don't think they're ever going to release it. If they're making a new one, they're especially probably going to bury the original.
Yeah. I mean, it hasn't aged all that well. No TV shows from that era have.
No, it's a pretty junky show to begin with.
Yeah, it was a low-budget show back then, and now it's just, I'm sure it just looks like, ugh.
Yeah, probably. Okay, man, that about does it. Again, no show next week for Comic-Con. Again, thanks to everybody for coming out to the live shows. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a regularly scheduled show, so look forward to that.